is with us. And God, I pray now as we look into your word that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that you would teach us, draw us deeper into yourself. God, I pray that you would help us to hear your voice clearly this morning. And that when we leave here, that we wouldn't just leave that behind, but that we would walk through this week with an awareness of your presence with us and within us, your work in our lives. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you all can have a seat. So last week, we talked about Joseph and the dreams he had. And I feel like we didn't go far enough with that. I feel like there's a lot more that I need to say about the topic of dreams. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dig into that a little bit further this morning. One of the things that I mentioned last week was the fact that when we talk about dreams, we're usually talking about two different things, right? Sometimes when we talk about dreams, we're talking about literal dreams, the stuff that happens in our heads while we're sleeping at night. And other times when we talk about dreams, we're talking about figurative dreams, like our hopes and dreams. This is my dream vacation. That would be my dream car. You know, it's the things that we hope will happen someday in our lives. And I want to dig in further on both of those parts of dreams. Let me start by talking about literal dreams and spend some time on that. And I want to begin by saying this. If you are someone who has difficulty sleeping at night, you wake up and you didn't sleep well, you didn't get rest, and that happens often to you. Or if you're someone that you have troubling dreams, nightmares, dreams that are upsetting, and you wake up just feeling, you just feel lousy because of the dreams that you had, and that happens consistently, could I just encourage you not to accept that as the norm? Not to accept that as, well, that's just the way my life has to be for the rest of my life. Sleep is a gift from God, and it's intended to refresh us and to renew us. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And if that's not happening, then God's plan for you through sleep is not happening. And that's something to go after in prayer. Same thing with dreams. Dreams are a gift from God. They're one of the tools he's given us for our minds to process events that we can't process during the day. And sometimes dreams are a tool for God to communicate with us. And if dreams are troubling for you, if dreams are upsetting for you, that's not God's plan for you. That's something to go after in prayer. So I just want to encourage you, if either of those two things is a struggle for you, to try something. I started doing this a while back, and just hand this off to you if this is something that you need. Every night before I go to sleep, the last thing I do before I fall asleep is I just pray a simple prayer. And it usually goes something like this. God, guide my thoughts as I sleep. Because I have no control over my thoughts while I'm sleeping, right? None of us do. So God, guide my thoughts as I sleep. And God, let my dreams come from you. Because I don't want my dreams to be informed by anxiety, frustration, temptation, any of those kind of things. Sometimes we have a dream and we wake up and all of a sudden there's this huge temptation that's right there in front of us because of a dream we had. Or we feel anxious or angry because of a dream we had. So I say, God, let my dreams come from you. And God, I invite you to speak to me in my dreams. So I just want to encourage you, if either of those things has been an issue for you, a challenge for you, just give that a try. Last thing before you fall asleep, just invite God to guide your thoughts, to guide your dreams, and even to speak to you in your dreams. Don't just do it once or twice and say, well, it didn't work. Try it consistently and see how God works in your life through that. Because that's like a third of our lives, isn't it? The time that we spend sleeping, that's a significant portion of our lives. So let's give that over to God and invite him to work in our lives during that time. Now, specifically on the part of that prayer where I say, God, I invite you to speak to me through my dreams. I want to dig into that a little bit. One of the things the Bible shows us very clearly about God is that he loves to communicate. So much so that one of the nicknames Jesus was given was the Word, right? He loves to communicate to us. And one of the ways he communicates is through our dreams, our literal dreams that happen at nighttime. So let me just show you a couple of verses here. Job 33. Look at this, verses 14 and 15. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. God speaks again and again. In other words, it just reiterates that God speaks to us often, that God communicates many times to us. And he says here, sometimes God does it through dreams. And there's so many examples of this in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Just a few examples. Earlier this year, we did a series on Solomon and the wisdom God gave him. Do you realize it was in a dream that God appeared to Solomon and said, Solomon, ask me for anything, anything you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon said, God, just all I ask for is wisdom. Give me a wise and discerning heart so I can lead your people well. And God answered that prayer. That happened in a dream that Solomon had. Last week, we talked about Joseph and the dreams he had that God gave him, that gave him kind of a preview of some of what was going to happen later on in his life. And all throughout his story, there were other people having dreams, and God gave Joseph the ability to interpret what those dreams meant because God was speaking to people through those dreams. And that's ultimately what put Joseph in a position of power so that his dreams were actually fulfilled. God spoke to Joseph through his dreams. And later on in the Old Testament, just like Joseph, a guy named Daniel was elevated to a position of power when God gave him the ability to interpret a dream that the king had. God spoke to the king through that dream, and Daniel was able to interpret that dream. And in fact, the book of Daniel is filled with God speaking to people through dreams. And if you've ever read through that book, some of them are pretty crazy. And it's like, what were these people drinking before they went to bed at night that gave them dreams like that? But God spoke to people through dreams. Now, when we come to the New Testament, in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married. And it was discovered that Joseph wasn't pregnant, Mary was. It was discovered that Mary was pregnant. And Joseph was immediately thinking, okay, she disobeyed God. She's been unfaithful to me. This isn't going to work. I'm just going to break off the engagement. And it was in a dream that the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph and said, no, this was the work of the Holy Spirit. She is going to give birth to the Son of God. That happened in a dream God gave Joseph. Later on in the New Testament, Peter had a dream in the book of Acts that God gave him where there was this weird dream with a sheet being lowered down from heaven with a bunch of animals on it, and God speaks to him in the dream. And the interpretation of the dream was that God was telling Peter this good news of salvation through faith in Christ. It's not only for Jewish people, it's for the whole world. I want you to make sure that people who are not Jewish hear this message too. God spoke to Peter about the direction of the church through a dream. Paul was another guy. There were times when God gave him a dream, specifically telling him, go to this place, go to this town, go to this province, and tell them about Jesus. So the Bible shows us over and over that God loves to speak to his people, and many times he speaks to us through dreams. Now, that probably hits you kind of sideways because it's not one of those things we talk about very often, right? It's not one of those things that we really expect. It's not one of those things that we really pay attention to. And again, like this verse says, God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. There are many times God is speaking to us and we don't recognize it because we're not always familiar with the ways he communicates with us. And I think many times we typically assume that dreams are just our mind processing events. It's just random thoughts that make no sense whatsoever, and they're kind of weird sometimes. And oftentimes that is true. But there are times when God speaks to people through dreams, and it's important for us to pay attention to that when it happens. Think about just the examples that I shared. What if Solomon had ignored the dream God gave him? What if he had ignored that dream? He woke up the next morning and said, you know what? That was a weird dream. God promising anything I asked, that's ridiculous. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. And if he had just ignored it, think how differently his life would have turned out. How about Joseph? When he stands before Pharaoh and Pharaoh describes these dreams that he had that were really weird. Like they were like a couple of really fat cows and then a couple of skinny cows, and the skinny cows eat the fat cows. And it's just like, what if Joseph had ignored the interpretation and just said, okay, that's creepy. Good luck with that, Pharaoh. And just ignored what God was saying through that dream. Think how differently his story and the lives of millions of people would have turned out. What about Joseph in the New Testament? If he had ignored the dream God gave him, if he had said, okay, I have this dream about an angel appearing to me. That's weird. That doesn't ever happen. And in this dream, God says that he's the one that made my fiance pregnant. No, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. What if he had ignored that dream and moved forward with his plan to end the engagement? Think how differently that story would have turned out. And what about Peter? If he had ignored the dream where God said to him, Peter, I want you to make sure the gospel is conveyed also to those who are not Jewish. Make sure they hear it too. If he had ignored that dream, where would you and I be today? So the point is, God loves to communicate, and it's really important for us to pay attention when he does, because if we don't, we're going to be missing out on something he wants to do in our lives and probably in the life of somebody else as well. Now, I think we tend to look at things like this and we say things like, well, that was for Bible times. I mean, yeah, God spoke to people in dreams, but that was back then. This is today. This is 2020. That kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore. And we tend to do that with things in the Bible that we haven't experienced or with things we read about in the Bible that make us a little uncomfortable. And so we say, well, that was for then. This is now. Things are different now. And let me just say, as I've said before, if he did it there, he can do it here. If he did it then, he can do it now. And if he did it for them, he can do it for us. This whole idea of, you know, when we look at some of the spiritual gifts in the Bible, God doesn't do that anymore. Or some of the miracles, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. Or God speaking to people, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. My Bible tells me Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I just want to encourage you, when we see these stories in the Bible of God moving in power, of God doing the miraculous, God doing the unusual, God doing the impossible, let's understand that God is just as powerful now as he was then. He loves you just as much as he loved them. He's up to something in your life just as he was in their lives, and he has something to say to you about that. And sometimes what he has to say to us might be conveyed through a dream we have at night. So let me just encourage you to be open to that and to pray before you go to sleep each night. Just pray for God to give you peace of mind as you sleep and ask him to guide your dreams and even invite him, God, speak to me in my dreams, and see what God does through that. And if you have a dream that grabs your attention, something that's really vivid or interesting, write it down the next morning. Measure it by scripture to make sure it really was of God and not just because of something you ate before you went to bed, and pray it through and see what God does in your life through that. God might be speaking to you, but like the verse says, sometimes he speaks and we don't recognize it. So let's be aware of that. And let's tune into what he might be saying to us. I just want to pause right now and pray specifically about that before we go any further. God, I want to thank you that you love to communicate. And I just pray right now that you would open us up more and more to your voice, that you would help us to be sensitive to your voice, that you would help us to not assume that that's in the past and that you don't do those things anymore. Help us to trust you, to hear you, and to know what you're saying to us. Give us wise and discerning hearts that we would know what your voice is saying to us versus any other voices. And Father, I pray specifically for anyone here that they've been struggling with sleeping at night, not getting enough rest, or they've been struggling with dreams and they've been having troubling dreams. God, I pray that you would free them from that, that they can fully experience the gift of sleep and the gift of dreams. We ask you to move in power in those situations in Jesus' name, amen. So I felt like I needed to address that issue of literal dreams. I want to talk now about the dreams that we have that are hopes and expectations. Those things that we would love to see God do in our lives, those things we're trusting him for. I feel like I need to hit that again because maybe God has placed something on your heart. There's a dream that God gave you that you have embraced at one point and said, wow, I would love to see that happen. It just resonated in your heart. And you said, I would love to see God do that in my life. I would love to be a part of that. And you embrace that dream and you wanted to see it happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And you might feel discouraged. I want to address that. And let me just start by saying this. Years ago, when we first started the church, we were meeting in the fire hall. I would get up every Sunday morning real early and just go over to the fire hall and just walk around and just pray before the services, asking God to do certain things. And not seeing the answers to those prayers. And after we came here, I get up in the morning, every Sunday morning, I get up early and I come here and I walk through the building and I pray. And many times I would walk through and pray and ask God to do certain things and not see the answer to those prayers. And for years, I would pray and not see the answers. Just a few weeks ago, I was here on a Sunday morning and just kind of walking through and praying. And I was just saying, God, thank you for all the things that are happening right now in our church. I love seeing how you're working and the things you're doing. I love being a part of this. God, thank you. And all of a sudden, I realized that what we're seeing right now is the result of those prayers that were prayed years ago. That the prayers that were prayed when I walked through the building alone over there or over here, the prayers that were prayed when we met together before services, sometimes just one or two of us, sometimes a few more, that those prayers laid the groundwork for much of what is happening in our church right now. And it's awesome to see how God is working. We have two services now because we have to have two services now. And we're seeing new ministries getting started and more people getting involved in ministry. We're seeing this great sense of unity that's happening in our church. I have to tell you, I love seeing some of the stories that I hear of just how God is working in people's lives. I see people reaching out to each other. I hear stories of some of you just going out of your way and sacrificing your time and your treasure to help other people out and to serve other people, some of whom you barely even know. And I hear those stories and it's awesome. And it's part of what we're all about. That's the New Testament church, right? Is others looked in, they saw how much they loved each other and it had an impact. And that's happening here too. And it's amazing. And that's not only happening with the adults, it's happening with our teens. One of the things we prayed about was for a long time, many of our teens come from different school districts. And so there wasn't much connection happening, right? They would see each other on Sunday mornings and that's about it. That's all changed. Because last year, Scott came forward and said, I want to start a youth group. And Dan jumped in and became a part of that. And then this summer, Sheila came forward and said, I want to do a Wednesday kids program. And because of those things, all of that has changed. So we're now like our teens, they're connecting with each other. They're encouraging each other. They're reaching out to each other. And it's not all the drama and stuff that you often see in teens. It's Christ-honoring relationships that are being established. And it's awesome. We've been praying for that for a long time. And it's happening now. And the Wednesday program, I think the average attendance is 20-some kids that's coming. There were times when, like, that's larger than our church used to be. There were times even when we were in this building when we had 20 or fewer people that were coming. I was looking through some pictures earlier this week of just not too long ago. When we first moved into the building, that's what it looked like. We were downstairs in the warehouse. That was our sanctuary for several months when we first moved into the building. You remember that, Donna, don't you? So, and there were times when we had only about 20 people, even in this building. There was one time we were overrun by a bunch of hippies, apparently. That was actually our disco party. That was a lot of fun. But this is from one of our first services in this building. That was our congregation that Sunday. That was just a few years ago. Last Sunday, between the two services, we had 95 people here in July. And like a couple hundred more on Facebook. It's awesome to see what God is doing. I'll never get tired of talking about this. This building is a miracle. This is an answer to prayer. This was a dream God gave Sheila and me before starting a church was even on our radar. We're out there in our kayaks and we see this building and God put a dream in both of our hearts that this building is going to be used for ministry and somehow we're going to be a part of it. We don't know what that means or looks like, but this building is an answer to that dream God put in our hearts. So I just want you to know that as a church, we have a history of seeing God do amazing things, of seeing dreams become reality. And it took time and it took prayer. And I want you to know that there is more that's yet to come. I shared with a couple of you, not too many, but not too long ago, God gave me a literal dream, like while I was sleeping. I believe this was from God of how he's going to solve our parking problem and our space problem. Hasn't happened yet. I'm not 100% sure it was God. I think it was, but I'm praying it through. And there's other dreams God has given here for this church that haven't happened yet. I've said from the beginning, this will be a church where sicknesses are healed and the lost are saved and the hopeless find hope and marriages are restored and addictions are broken. And we've seen bits and pieces of that, right? We've seen some people get healed from sicknesses. We've seen some people come to Christ. And we've seen that happen here and there, but we haven't seen it as a consistent, regular thing yet. And I'm telling you, the day is coming when we will. The day is coming when we will see people coming to Christ by the dozens. The day is coming when we'll lay hands on someone who is sick and pray for them, and we will see them healed miraculously and instantly, and that will be the norm. That will be just what happens when we pray for the sick. The day is coming when people with addictions will come here, and they will find freedom they never dreamed was possible. That day is coming. Absolutely. And so I just want to encourage, this is why I always talk about prayer time, right? Because that lays the groundwork for all of that happening. If we're not praying, those things aren't happening. That's a dream God gave us, but sometimes those dreams take time, and sometimes those dreams require prayer before they happen. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that and to join us in praying for God's dream for this church to become reality. Now, why am I talking about that? Because I want you to be able to see the things God has done in this church, not just, well, God did that for the church, but I want that to be a testimony for you. An encouragement for you if you have a dream that hasn't come true yet. Because some of you, God has given you a dream that hasn't happened yet. It's something he put on your heart, and because it hasn't happened, you're discouraged. And you feel let down, and you're wondering, is it ever going to happen? Is it even possible for it to happen? Maybe it's the dream of one day getting married. Or it's the dream of your marriage becoming a better, stronger marriage. Maybe it's a dream of having kids and it seems like that's impossible. Maybe it's the dream of finally finding that perfect job that fits your gifts, your talents, your personality, your abilities. Maybe it's the dream of overcoming that thing that has held you back for so long, whether it's way too much debt or an addiction of some kind or anxiety and depression, and you just dream of God setting you free from all of that, but it hasn't happened yet. Or maybe it's the dream of seeing God work in your life in a miraculous way that you've never experienced before. It's that ministry he's placed on your heart, that calling he's placed on your life. And you're like, I know I'm supposed to do this for God. I just don't know when yet. I really want to see God work in this way through my life. I would love to be a part of that, but it hasn't happened yet. And let's be honest, when we have a dream and we think it's from God, but it seems like it takes forever, it's hard for us to hold on to hope that it's going to happen, isn't it? It's easier to just put it aside and say, well, this is my life and this is the way my life is going to be. It's easier to do that than it is to try to keep holding on to hope that that dream is going to happen. I want to encourage you today, if that has happened to you, if you have set aside that dream because it's taking a long time, I want to encourage you today to pick it back up again and to believe God for the impossible. Because those dreams he gave you are there for a reason. I think one of the obstacles we face is that some of the dreams God gives us are pretty big and they seem unrealistic. Just by show of hands, if any of you have ever had a dream that God placed on your heart, something you were like, I want to be a part of that. I want God to do that through me. But you knew that's too big for me. I can't possibly do that myself. Any of you had that experience? Yeah. And I think when that happens, we tend to sometimes we say, well, that's really big. I'm not sure that that's even possible. I don't know that that's going to happen. Or sometimes we do this humility thing where we say, well, it would be kind of arrogant for me to expect God to do something like that in my life. God does that for other people, but I shouldn't expect that much from him in my life. That would be arrogant for me. Or sometimes we latch onto this popular idea that God cares about your needs, but he doesn't care about your desires. You heard that one? I've heard it 1,000 times from preachers. Your needs matter to God, but your desires, that's separate. That's not really that important to God. Listen to what David says about that in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sounds like that matters to him. Jesus said something similar in Matthew chapter 7. He was talking to a group of people about the goodness of God and that God is a loving father. And he sets up these unusual scenarios. He says, how many of you dads, if your daughter came to you and said, Dad, I'm hungry, could I have a piece of bread? How many of you dads would say, no, but here's a rock I just picked up off the ground. Chew on this instead. Like, none of you would say that, right? None of you would treat your child that way. Or he says, what if your son comes to you and says, Dad, I'm hungry, could I have a piece of fish? And you're like, no, you can't have fish, but I just stepped on a scorpion. Here, you can eat this instead. He's like, no father would do that, right? We love our kids. We take care of our kids. And then he says this, if you, being imperfect dads, know how to take care of your kids, he says, how much more will your heavenly father give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus said the Father has good gifts for us. And sometimes the way we receive those gifts, it's not automatic. Sometimes we receive them because we asked for them, just as a child asks a loving father for a gift. I mean, think about it. What kind of a father would tell his kids, I'll provide for your needs, but I don't care about your desires, your hopes and dreams. I don't care about that. Get out of here with that. That doesn't matter to me. My job as your dad is to make sure you have the bare minimum of what you need to survive and nothing more. Like, that's not a loving father, right? And Jesus shows us that the Father is loving. That matters to him. And one more verse on this. If you've been in this church more than a year, you've probably heard me reference this about 5,982 times. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good thing in your life is a gift from the hand of the Father. Every good thing. So those moments in your life when you're having a bad day and something happens that just changes everything and it encourages you, puts a smile on your face, lightens your load. Maybe it's a song you hear and you're like, that song was awesome. I got to hear that again. Or maybe it's a conversation you had with somebody and you walk away and it was just so good for your soul just to have that discussion, just to have that conversation. Or maybe it was an amazing meal you had. It was like, that was great. We got to go back there sometime. Or it was that beautiful sunset you saw. Every one of those and 1,000 more things that happen every day, those are gifts from the hand of your Father. Those aren't just random things. That's not just a lucky moment. That is God the Father tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I want you to know I'm here. I love you. I care for you. And here's another reminder of that. You see, your dreams, that matters to God. What matters to you matters to Him because He is a loving Father. Now, sometimes it feels like forever. From the moment that dream is given until the experience of that dream becoming reality. Sometimes it feels like it takes an eternity. And when we're in the middle of that, it's really hard. So I just want to encourage you, if you're in that place, that wilderness in between, God gave you a dream, but it hasn't happened yet. And it looks like it's never going to happen. It looks like it's getting pushed further and further away. I want to encourage you to talk with Him about that. Just be honest with Him about what's going on in your heart, what you're struggling with, how it's affecting you. Just have that conversation with Him and listen to what He's saying to you about that, because God has something to say in those times of waiting. And I also want to encourage you that delays aren't always denials. As I said last week, detours aren't always detours. Sometimes those setbacks, those things that seem to push the dream further away, sometimes it's not really that. Sometimes what it is it's God preparing us. It's God equipping us. It's God building character qualities into us that we are going to need so that we can handle the dream effectively when it finally happens. That's really important. Sometimes when we first have that dream, we're not ready for it yet. If it became reality right then, we would handle it very badly. Because we need to grow, we need to learn, we need to hear some things from God. And sometimes He brings us through a process of learning some things so that when the dream happens, we can handle it in the right way. Joseph is a good example of that. I mean, if you look at the beginning of his story, let's be honest, Joseph was kind of a jerk at the start of his story. He really was. He was 17 years old when God gave him this dream. He was arrogant, he was prideful. He was the favored child. He was a child of privilege. He got special gifts from dad. He tattled on his brothers all the time and was rewarded for being a tattletale. I mean, and then he goes to his brothers and tells them this dream. Like, he knows this is going to upset him, right? He knows that they're jealous of him. He knows they don't like him. And yet he goes to them and says, hey, God showed me in a dream. You guys are going to bow down before me. And he does that twice. Like, who does that? So he starts out as a really prideful person. But when you fast forward later on in the story, he's a changed man. Why? Because of what happened in his life, because of what God brought him through. So you come to Genesis 50, and this is near the end of his story. His brothers are literally on their faces groveling before him, begging for their lives. See, there's been this worldwide famine. And because of the dreams that God gave Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and God gave Joseph wisdom to know what to do about that famine, Egypt was ready, and they had food and more than enough food. So nobody in Egypt was harmed by the famine, and in fact, people from all around were coming to Egypt to get food, including Joseph's family. And so one day, his brothers are there, bowing before him, asking him for food, not realizing it's their brother who they had betrayed years before that they're bowing before. And Joseph reveals himself to them and says, guys, it's me. I'm your brother. I'm Joseph. And they're terrified because they realize he has the power. He has the authority to have them executed slowly and painfully to take vengeance for what they had put him through. But he doesn't respond that way. Look at his response in Genesis 50, starting in verse 19. It says, but Joseph replied, But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. And so he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Think about what he says to them. Am I God that I could punish you? That's a lot different from the arrogant kid that we saw at the beginning of the story. He spoke kindly to them. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your kids. Like if Joseph had had the power he has in this moment, the power over their lives, if he had had that kind of power when he first had the dream and then his brothers betrayed him, if he had that power in his hands at that moment, it would have turned out a lot differently, wouldn't it? He's a different man now. His story starts with arrogance and pride, and it ends with humility and compassion. He's elevated to this position of immense power, and in that position, he uses his power not to serve himself, but to rescue countless lives. And he uses that power not to take vengeance on his brothers, but to provide for the needs that they and their families had. God brought him through a process that humbled him. Why? To punish him? No, to prepare him. So that when the dream finally happened, he would be ready for it. He would have the character quality to handle it well instead of handling it in a selfish way. See, if God had given him the fulfillment of the dream at the moment he gave him the dream, that would have been really irresponsible. It'd be like giving your five-year-old the keys to the car or telling your three-year-old, here's a chainsaw, go out and cut down a tree, right? There's going to be major problems, right? Sometimes when we first have the dream that God gives us, we're not ready for the fulfillment of it yet. And so God brings us through a process that can be difficult and can be painful, but he does it so that we can become mature and ready to handle that dream. And so God brings Joseph through this process that humbled him. At times it seemed unacceptable, but God allowed that process to happen in his life, not to punish him, but to prepare him. So what is the process God might be bringing you through? In that time of waiting, in between the dream being given to you and the fulfillment of that dream, and all the twists and turns that are happening right now, what might God be saying to you? What might he be developing in your life? What might he be working on in your heart to help prepare you for what is yet to come? I just want to encourage you, if you're in that place, don't abandon the dream and don't lose hope. Listen for the voice of God, because there's something he has to say to you in the middle of that time of waiting that you don't want to miss. So I just want to pray for a minute and just invite you, if you're in that place of waiting and it's discouraging and you feel like giving up, I want to encourage you just to call out to God and just to invite him to restore hope to your heart. And to invite him to renew that dream. It might feel painful to say, God, I want to pick that dream up again. That might feel painful because it hasn't happened yet. And it's hard to trust that it's going to happen. I want to encourage you to step out, to take a risk, and believe God for the impossible. So let's pray together. God, I just want to pray right now for those who are here today who are in that period of waiting. And it's hard. And it's painful. Because at some point you put a dream in their heart. You put a passion inside of them, and it hasn't happened yet. God, I pray that you would restore hope. I pray that you would renew those dreams in their hearts. And God, give them the strength through the times of waiting, through the opposition they might be facing, through going through what seems unacceptable. God, give them that extra measure of strength they need right now to hold on to the dream that you've placed in their heart and to trust you for big things. And God, I ask you to do big things. I ask you to come through and that those dreams would become reality. And I pray that in the coming months, we would have testimony after testimony, story after story of how you came through, how that dream finally happened for your glory and for your honor. God, I thank you that you love to communicate. Help us to be sensitive to your voice and to receive all that you have for us because you are the God of more. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.